And welcome in. It's the Doug Russell Podcast, NFL Free Agency Edition. We'll have some thoughts on some of the best guys in the Packers locker room. Two are leaving, one is staying. Also, Ryan Braun breaks his silence, and the NCAA tournament is upon us. But before we get going, let me give you our socials. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Doug Russell Pod. That's our username. You can also find us on Facebook. Search for us on YouTube. You can send us an email, DougRussellPod@gmail.com, or for all of that and all of our downloads that you can just listen to at your leisure, you can just find us at www.DougRussellPod.com. As I was beginning to record this on Tuesday, this came across the desk. It's from Ian Rappaport. And, you know, every once in a while you get those tweets, and I've become conditioned to always look for the authentic blue check mark, because sometimes, and Twitter tries to clamp down on this, if you have a fake blue check mark, they will flag your profile. Well, this is the real deal from Ian Rappaport. And I do check these things nowadays because I have been burned on them in the past. But Ian Rappaport reporting, and obviously we all know that it is a true story by now, but the Bears are expected to sign free agent quarterback Andy Dalton, their new starter. He gets a one-year deal worth $10 million. We found out that he could, you know, up that to $13 million if he reaches some incentives. So is this not the most Chicago Bears move of all time? You shoot for Russell Wilson. You let the whole world know you want the future Hall of Famer who still has a lot of gas left in the tank. You still want the guy who threw 40 touchdowns last season. You still want the guy who's been to two Super Bowls and won one of them. You still want the guy who went 12-4 a year ago. You still want the guy that's won almost 100 games in his career. You want that guy. Everybody wants Russell Wilson, right? Still an elite quarterback. After 4 weeks of the season last year, he was your hands-down NFL MVP. And then, well, he did show, by the way, why you don't give out the MVP award after 4 weeks. He did have a drop-off of his play. But still, you look at his numbers from last season, 40 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, over 4,200 yards passing. Again, the Seahawks went 12-4. Completion percentage of 68.8. For his career, 267 touchdowns to 81 interceptions. That's the guy you want. Who's the guy you got? You didn't get 40 touchdown passes. You didn't get that quarterback from last year. You got the guy instead who threw 14 touchdown passes last year. You got the guy who threw for about half as many yards as Russell Wilson, 4,200 yards to 2,100 yards. That's who you got. 1 year, $10 million. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, number one, I feel sorry for you. Number two, I'm not sure exactly why you're listening to this podcast, but hi. I'm glad you are. I'm grateful for every listener we've got. But you've got to be the most frustrated fan base, I would think, in the world, right? Look at all the advantages that Chicago Bears fans have. They've got a great history. If you go back into their history, I know that Packers fans like to make fun of the Chicago Bears because their recent history has been very bad. But the Chicago Bears have a storied history in the NFL. One of the charter franchises of the league, the Monsters of the Midway, the late Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, Mike Ditka. These guys were great football players. The great rivalry that they had between Papa Bear Hallis and Vince Lombardi, they were nothing alike as human beings, but they did have a rivalry against each other. You've been run into the ground. You've been just bludgeoned over the head for years by just all of this losing. The Packers have owned you. The rest of the NFL has owned you in the postseason, with the exception of the one Super Bowl that they did get to when they got beaten by the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, we all know about 1985, and it's the big joke. How many Chicago Bears fans does it take to change a light bulb? Well, it takes 8. It takes one guy to actually do the work and 7 people to stand around the chair telling you how much better light bulbs were in 1985. I lived in Chicago. Most of you know I lived, if you've been following my career at all, you know that I lived in Chicago for a time. And, you know, the baseball loyalties are split between the White Sox and the Cubs. But everyone in Chicago is a Bears fan. And because the Upper Midwest is so football-centric, they don't have to split their loyalties with anybody. It's not like, say, in the state of Ohio, for example, where you're an Ohio State Buckeyes fan, but your NFL team, it could be the Bengals, could be the Browns, and those teams have had lean times. So most everybody just kind of gloms on to Ohio State. That's the Bears, except for they don't win. At least Ohio State wins. In the state of Illinois, you've got, I mean, you could go to the University of Illinois, Northwestern, who've been trying to call themselves Chicago's Big Ten team forever, and that's met with just a shrug. Oh, okay. Ryan Field is still half empty most games, even when there's not a pandemic going on. You can go over to DeKalb for Northern Illinois. No, it's a Bears town, and if you live there, you are a Bears fan. And it's a rabid fan base. That's the other thing about Chicago Bears fans. They're not fair-weather fans at all. They live and die by their team. I've got a lot of respect for Chicago Bears fans on a couple of different fronts. Number one, you continue to love your team even though they don't love you back, from the sense that they don't go out and actually build a winning team. At times you think they're going to get it together, but they never do. So Andy Dalton is your quarterback. Good luck with that. So I did want to lead off the show with that. All right, let's get back to Green Bay, because nobody saw this one coming. The Packers and Aaron Jones, they come to terms on a new 4-year, $48 million contract extension. $13 million of that is guaranteed. We all thought that Aaron Jones was gone. And we thought he was gone during the season last year, because he had kind of indicated that this was going to be it for him. Remember when Aaron Jones switched agents last season? He hired Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus is the guy who always gets top dollar for his guy. If you're a baseball fan, Drew Rosenhaus is the Scott Boris of the NFL. When you hire Drew Rosenhaus, you are signaling that you are not giving anyone a hometown discount. Except that Aaron Jones gave the Packers a hometown discount. He could have, and there is no question in my mind that Aaron Jones could have gotten more than a 4-year, $48 million contract on the open market. Drew Rosenhaus told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that exact thing. We anticipated bigger offers in free agency. Yeah, no kidding. But Aaron wanted to stay with the Packers. It's a 4-year contract. It extends through Jones's age 30 season. It's not known how the rest of the contract is structured, but the deal does look like it is a longer commitment just a couple of days after the Packers said, we are not going to franchise Aaron Jones. Now, I don't know how far along the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, Russ Ball, I don't know how far along they were with Drew Rosenhaus at the time. I'm guessing pretty far, because there were some Packers fans that were holding out hope that the Packers would use the franchise tag on Aaron Jones. Now, the Packers don't like to use the franchise tag, and when they didn't use it on Jones, it was like, okay, well, we kind of been stealing ourselves for this for a while. That's why A.J. Dillon was drafted in the second round last year, and Jamal Williams is still in the fold. Well, one of those things is still true. Yes, A.J. Dillon is going to be, I guess, your thunder to the lightning this season, but we'll get to Jamal Williams in just a second. But in 4 seasons, you look at what Aaron Jones has done for the Packers. In the last 2 years, this is a guy who scored 9 touchdowns on the ground a year ago, 16 that led the NFL the year prior to that. Even in his second season, he scored 8 touchdowns. This is a guy who has been one of the most consistent performers at a critical position, but also a position that you don't generally go out and break the bank for. But when you've got a guy like Jones who can be a difference maker for a couple of years, I mean, he's 26 right now, so, you know, you can do the math and extrapolate out you know, when he'll be someone who is considered to be over the hill as far as an NFL running back is concerned. Because, again, NFL running backs just don't last very long anymore. You get to 27, 28, 29 years old, you're about, I mean, even if you're one of the top running backs in the NFL, you're starting to be looked at as someone who doesn't have much left. You hit the age of 30 as a running back in the NFL, you're an endangered species. That's just the way it goes. That's the way today's NFL is. But he's also an effective pass blocker. He's also an effective safety valve for Aaron Rodgers out of the backfield. And he's someone who has burst. He's someone who has a nose for the end zone. He's someone who has a nose for the first down marker. And he's one of my favorite guys in the locker room. You add it all up. Aaron Jones, I mean, to be able to keep Aaron Jones in the fold, that's a huge boon to the Packers. And when you've got all these guys that are restructuring their contracts, whether it's Billy Turner, whether it's Za'Darius Smith, whether it's David Bakhtiari, Aaron Rodgers, perhaps. When you've got these guys that are restructuring their contracts, that's how teams are able to make Super Bowl runs. Tom Brady, for most of his career, took less money so the Patriots could go out and get other players to surround Brady with. It's not that rare, but it's not that common either. When you're close, when you've got guys that will do that, that will make the sacrifice for the greater good, that's pretty special. Unfortunately, that means the Packers had to let my favorite guy, maybe ever, in any locker room, go, Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams on Monday, this is after Aaron Jones had come to terms with the Packers on his four-year, $48 million contract. I mean, the handwriting was on the wall. You can't bring Jones, Williams, and Dillon back, and you're not going to cut A.J. Dillon a year after drafting him in the second round. So, I mean, do the math. Jamal Williams let go by the Packers, and he tweeted this out yesterday in true Jamal Williams fashion. Quote, "Thank you, Green Bay, for accepting me and letting me grow into the man I am today and still thriving to be." This is, by the way, on his Instagram account. "I have nothing but respect and love for everyone who works in the Packers facility, from players, coaches, all the employees that work in Lambeau, and the fans. I'm going to miss it all, cherish my memories, and keep striving for greatness. I'm looking forward to what's ahead and excited to grind for what I want, but nothing but love for GB. It has been real." That from Jamal Williams. Now, why is Jamal Williams everybody's favorite? It's not just the dancing, but my friend Lily Zhao from Fox 6 Television in Milwaukee, she tweeted this out the other day, and it's a compilation that she's made over the last couple of years of Jamal Williams in the locker room. You lose a little bit something because this isn't a visual medium, but thanks to Lily Zhao for putting this together, and this is just some of what we got to experience with Jamal Williams over the years.
Shoot, I felt like, let me get back into this again. They said mermaid, I just say mermaid activated. Chicago, I'm just ready to play, man.
No?
The run game. Really? Back there?
Nah, I'm just playing.
Yeah, I just say mermaid activated. It sounds better, but I like it all though. So I'm just glad people having fun with it. Sometimes I just say what's in my mind, I don't know. That's why I just be like, oh, Lord, they're calling me a mermaid now because I said it. I just go with it.
I'm going to keep you in the dark. Yeah. That's not hard. It's like asking, you know, it's like asking Batman questions, you know. I'm going to just get around them.
I ain't going to lie to you. Halfway through your question, I stopped listening.
I'm the Grinch of holidays.
Why?
I don't like holidays.
I felt great. Felt like I was in Frozen. Frozen 2.
I'll be like the first one in line.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it out yet?
No, it's not.
Oh, I can't wait. Is it? Yep. I can't wait.
Pushing kids out the way. Outside. We'll be screaming and stuff.
We want it as cold as it could get. I want it negative 50.
Has that happened before?
I don't know for football, but yeah.
Yeah, probably in like the 1760s, huh?
I'm gonna just let you know. I don't even know what's happening. So I want to look at some goose. I want to see a goose fly. I want to see, is there a difference? Like, do they got a mutated goose or something? You know what I mean? I gotta say, I feel like a mermaid.
I look like a little fish. I look like a fish out there.
I feel like a mermaid and everybody else like dogs swimming. You know what I mean? So I be feeling like I'm just fluent out there. So I think it's the rain. I feel like SpongeBob.
As soon as the rain came, it felt good. As soon as it started snowing, it felt better. And then it went back to rain a little bit. So it was just like a good overall day of everything. Like one day I felt like SpongeBob for a minute, right? Then it started snowing. Felt like Frozen. I was like, all right, here we go. Olaf time. Then it went back to raining. So then I felt like SpongeBob, you know what I mean? The Goofy Goober type. When he was drying up and you know, he had that little drop of like that before he turned into, you know what I mean? That's how I felt.
Good stuff from Jamal Williams. And again, thanks to Lily Zhao for putting that together from Fox 6. You can follow her on Twitter at Lily S. Zhao. We haven't had Lily on the program yet. We should do that. We will do that sooner rather than later. LILYSZHAO, Lily Zhao, again from Fox 6. Now, shortly after Williams made his news public, he joined the NFL Network's Rhett Lewis.
So we know what a team is going to get when they do sign Jamal Williams. Clearly, we've seen you on Sundays and on game days, but what are you looking for in a new team?
Sure, I just want a team that, you know, everybody's professional-minded. Everybody know what we got to do to win a Super Bowl, go get a ring, and just be professional about it and have fun, do it together, and know that this is really a whole team effort. And, you know, when having me on the team, I'm all about the team. And I let my teammates know, you know, we got to have each other's back when we go on a war, because we the only ones out there, you know what I mean? So as long as everybody sacrifices, do the right things, and we doing it as a team, good things happen.
You're part of a tandem situation in Green Bay as you and Aaron were drafted together in 2017. You still put up nearly 3,000 total yards from scrimmage and 18 touchdowns. Is a tandem role, a duo role, as a backfield share situation still appealing to you?
I feel like it's just part of the game and how we play in football now. You got to have more than one back, but at the same time, I know what I can do. I know my abilities. I know I'm a three down back, and I know I can do everything that, you know, a starting running back is doing now. So, and I feel like, you know, you give me the opportunity, I can show you what I'm about. And that's what I am. I'm just a workhorse. I just like to grind and do what I need to do for my team. But at the same time, I got my expectations for myself because I know what type of player I am.
Jamal Williams with the NFL Network's Rhett Lewis. By the way, Rhett Lewis, if you're an Indiana football fan, and I'm not sure if you are an Indiana football fan, hi, welcome to the show. He was Rhett Kleinschmidt when I guess he played for the Indiana Hoosiers. And there's a picture of him. Now, he goes by Rhett Lewis. I don't know why. Just go by Rhett Kleinschmidt. That's your name. Played football in Indiana. This is a guy who played Big Ten football. And there's a picture of him catching a touchdown pass in a jersey that says Kleinschmidt on the back. And it's very confusing. Who the hell is Kleinschmidt? It's Rhett Lewis. Just go by your name. I've never understood that. Just go by your name. Especially if you did something public in the past, like, I don't know, play Big Ten football like he did. Anyway, I guess you can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, but that was Jamal Williams on with the NFL Network's Rhett Lewis. Not a knock on his work. He's a fine reporter, but I don't understand that. The other Green Bay legend that is exiting stage left, the ageless one, Tremont Williams.
In Tampa Bay against Philadelphia back in 06. So a bit of a risk. Pass is picked off. Tremont Williams, and he may go. They tried to bite off more yardage, and they just got burned.
He announced his retirement on his 38th birthday, which is Tuesday. Tremont Williams, in a string of tweets, wrote this. To the greatest organization in the NFL, the Green Bay Packers, thank you for allowing a very raw athletic kid to live out his dream. Thank you to the late, great Ted Thompson for seeing the value in an undrafted free agent. Thank you, Alonzo Highsmith. Zoe, to be exact, Alonzo Highsmith, former NFL player, but also a former NFL scout for the Packers. Zoe, to be exact, for finding me and pushing me with everything you had to get me in. Thank you, Mark Murphy and Russ Ball, for always being so genuine. To my brother, Joe Witt, Packers secondary coach. Thank you for believing in me no matter what until this day. It means a lot. Thank you to all of my teammates and coaches over the years. I got love for every one of you. Thank you to Flea and the training staff for keeping me on the field throughout my career. And to the best fans in the world, thank you for supporting me through the good and the bad. That's the true definition of a loyal fan base. And thank you, Goody, for bringing me back and allowing me to finish this journey in the green and yellow 38 jersey. That meant everything to me. No matter what jersey I wore, I always carried the G. Number 38 is clocking out at 38. That from Tremont Williams. Number 38 checking out on his 38th birthday. No one played harder. No one got more out of his ability than Tremont Williams. Tremont Williams was one of those guys. Again, he went through it through that series of tweets. This was a street free agent. This was somebody who was kicking around practice squads. But he came in and he got a chance with the Packers. And he won a Super Bowl ring with the Packers. He was part of that, a big part of that Super Bowl 45 winning team. Came back at the end of last season. I think that he should have played some for Kevin King in that playoff loss to the Buccaneers. Why wasn't Tremont Williams in the game? He could not have possibly done any worse than Kevin King, but nevertheless, again, nobody played harder. Nobody got more out of his ability than Tremont Williams. He came in hardworking, humble, family man. There is nothing that you can pick on with Tremont Williams when you look at his overall body of work. As Tom Oates wrote on his Twitter page earlier on Tuesday, the next stop for Tremont Williams is going to be the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. That, he's a shoo-in for that. What will the next week bring, though, in the NFL? I don't know. Probably a lot more retirements. Drew Brees retired. One of the all-time great quarterbacks in the NFL. 15 years with the Saints. He spent 5 years with the Chargers, then the last 15 years with the Saints. And nobody knew how that second act of his was going to go, because the last play that he ever made for the Chargers, his arm just got demolished. So Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees walk away in the same offseason. Now Tremont Williams walking away this offseason as well. But you're still going to see a lot of surprising releases, a lot of restructured deals, and some more mad money being thrown around. Speaking of retirements, Ryan Braun isn't there yet, but he's closing in on it. Monday, Braun dropped by American Family Fields of Phoenix to say hello to his teammates and to drop by the radio booth for a chat with Bob Uecker. I can't play the whole conversation. There are these pesky things called copyright laws, but U.S. copyright law does let me give you a tiny morsel of the gist of what he said in a small snippet.
You know, I've been working out, staying in shape. I worked out with Yelly all offseason. It was just him and I. We had a trainer come to his house. And
yeah.
Safe, socially distanced workouts. But I haven't actually touched a baseball or a bat since the end of last season. So I haven't done any baseball-specific stuff. But working out, staying in shape. You know, I guess with retirement, you can always push back that decision, and I'm not at a place where I'm ready to fully retire yet, so I'll continue to stay in shape and see what the future
that's
holds.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, and you know what? You know, having been around as long as I have, too, there are certain guys that don't have to do nothing, and during the off season, I'm talking about, and pick up a bat the next year, their first time up, and go up there and rip a baseball from some guy throwing 100 miles an hour.
The biggest reason I would decide to be done as a baseball player is that you never get this time back with your kids. I have three young kids now, and I feel like I've already missed out on quite a bit of my 4 and 6-year-old lives to this point. And, you know, there's nothing more important, there's
right.
nothing more impactful than being there as a parent. There's nothing that brings me, you know, more joy or gratitude. And there's nothing that feels more rewarding than just being there for every significant moment in your children's lives. So it's tough. I think as they get older, you realize how fast it does go by. And missing all of that stuff is something that obviously has played a significant role in me deciding with where I'm currently at to just spend more time with them.
Ryan Braun on the Brewers Radio Network with, of course, the Hall of Famer Bob Uecker. Certainly sounds like a guy who's going to retire. The speculation being that if the Brewers are close in July, Ryan Braun could come back in some capacity as maybe a designated pinch hitter, somebody who can get some innings at first base or maybe out in the outfield as well, one of the corner outfield positions, maybe be a designated hitter in American League ballpark games and interleague play. That's a possibility. But again, I mean, he's still working out. Still, as Uecker was talking about throughout the course of that 20-minute conversation that the two of them had in the booth, actually closer to 30, you know, he still looks like he's in game shape, but he also hasn't picked up a bat or a ball or a glove since the last game that he played in the playoffs against the Dodgers. So he hasn't been hitting. He looks like he could probably always just pick up a bat and rake, but I don't know that it works like that. And I don't even, look, and Ryan Braun may be sandbagging a little bit, though, too. He might be hitting the cage and not telling anybody just to kind of see where his swing is at right now. But he's never loved spring training, and he was such an important part of important Brewers teams. I mean, this is a guy who went to the playoffs with this club five times. Remember 2008? Hit that home run against the Pirates and then another one against the Cubs on the game-winning day. I call it the pressure release day, when 26 years of absolute frustration, just you thought it was going to boil over. Instead, it was just more relief than anything else. Then in 2011, the Brewers came within two games of going to the World Series before losing in the National League Championship Series to the eventual World Series champion Cardinals. And then the last 3 years with the Brewers going to the postseason as well. So he's been the most important piece of some important Brewers teams. Still only 37 years old. He'll be 38 in November. So, I mean, there's still some gas left in the tank. It's not like he's 48 or anything like that. He's 37. You look at his lifetime averages, though, it's pretty damn good. I mean, this is a guy who's a lifetime 296 hitter. This is a guy who's just shy of 2,000 career hits, just over 350 home runs. It's not going to get him to the Hall of Fame, and the steroid thing, the PED thing, that's disqualifying him for the Hall of Fame, but his numbers aren't Hall of Fame worthy. At one point, it looked like they were going to be Hall of Fame worthy, but this was a guy who had every nagging injury that you can possibly imagine. And I'm not making excuses for Ryan Braun. I'm not making excuses for him lying about the PED test. I'm over the indignation of players in Major League Baseball using PEDs to get over nagging injuries. I don't care about that. The fact that the way that he went down, the fact that not the suspension for the PED, again, don't care, but it was the lying about it and the throwing of the tester under the bus. That's what's going to stick in everybody's craw, and it probably should. That's something that's tough to get past. But there are guys who use PEDs that are in the Hall of Fame, but these numbers aren't Hall of Fame worthy. But the reason that he took the PEDs in the first place, I suspect, was to get over some of those nagging injuries. And once he got pinched and once he got suspended, then you saw the numbers fall off. But again, I think it was because he was using the PEDs to mask some of those injuries so he could just go out there and play for you. It was part of the culture of the game, but he just did it in a dumb way when he got caught. And it wound up costing him, and it should have cost him. But this was a six-time All-Star. Again, won the NL MVP in 2011, Rookie of the Year in 2007. It's a five-time Silver Slugger Award winner. Led the league in home runs in 2012. Was a member of the 30-30 club twice, his two best seasons, 2011 and 2012. So I suspect this is it for Braun. He doesn't need the money. He's got some business interests outside of baseball. Hopefully that will sustain him, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for somebody who's been playing the game of baseball literally his entire life to just stop doing it with so much life in front of him. Some guys handle it better than others. Some guys channel it into other pursuits. Some go into broadcasting. Kobe Bryant, whose life obviously was tragically cut short, he went into filmmaking. Won an Oscar, for crying out loud. So what Ryan Braun will do next, I don't know. This was a guy who, by the way, went to the University of Miami on an academic scholarship. He got a B once in high school. That was it. Everything else, he was a straight-A student. So he's not a dumb guy. Made a couple of dumb mistakes, but he's not a dumb guy. All right.
The number 8 seed, North Carolina's Tar Heels. Second team out of the ACC, the Heels reach the NCAA tournament for a 10th straight season. They will take on 9th seeded Wisconsin. The Badgers out of the Big Ten. Badgers play the 6th toughest schedule.
Always do. Always play a tough schedule.
It is bracket time. Do you have your brackets filled out yet? There's not the juice this year that there has been in years past. And I understand that. You know, we're still going through the pandemic. I think as a society, we're still kind of shell-shocked by it all. Of course, Wisconsin, they'll play on Friday night at 6:10. If you're in Milwaukee, you can listen to the game on 97.3, The Game. Nice little plug there. With Matt LePay and Mike Lucas, the hometown call. I'll be taking on North Carolina. That will be in the South bracket. All these games, by the way, played in the state of Indiana for COVID protocol reasons. But Wisconsin's also playing at Mackey Arena, where there's something like 4-43 lifetime. I mean, they just get absolutely demolished at Mackey Arena. But they're not playing Purdue. They are playing North Carolina in their first matchup. If they do get past North Carolina, in all likelihood, they'll get Baylor. So I'm guessing that's where the run for the Badgers will end. I do think, though, that the Badgers, as a basketball team, they're capable, underline capable, they're capable of beating just about anybody, I think, in this field when they hit their shots. When they don't hit their shots, they're not a very good basketball team. Is it that simple? Am I oversimplifying? I don't think I am. I think that's just the way that this team goes. They live by the jump shot, and boy, oh boy, have they died by the jump shot. This is a team, though, that also, as you heard in that clip, sixth hardest schedule in college basketball. The Big Ten was brutal this year. You've got two number one seeds from the Big Ten Conference this year in the dance. You've got Illinois and Michigan. And then you look at the number two seeds in the tournament. You've got Ohio State as a number two seed in this tournament as well as Iowa. You've got four teams as either one or two seeds from the Big Ten Conference in this tournament. I've got my Final Four. I do have Baylor in my Final Four. Actually, I have Baylor going to the national championship game and losing to Iowa. So my Final Four, I've already said a couple of them. Baylor's going to come out of the South. I've got Illinois coming out of the Midwest. I've got Alabama coming out of the East, and then Iowa coming out of the West. Iowa will beat Alabama. Baylor will beat Illinois in the Final Four, and then Iowa defeats Baylor for the national championship. Will any of this happen? Absolutely not. It will absolutely not happen because I put my name on this bracket, and my bracket is basically kindling by, well, usually it's by Thursday night, but because it's all cattywampus this year, I will say that my bracket will be absolutely worthless by Saturday at 7 p.m. That's my prediction. Absolutely worthless by Saturday at 7 p.m. I will be able to just rip this thing up. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to post this on our social media accounts and be held accountable for what my picks are going to be in this bracket. I only fill out one, and we'll see how I do. And if you want to post yours as well, please feel free to do so. I'll put it on Twitter, at Doug Russell Pod on Twitter, and you can post yours and tag me on at Doug Russell Pod on Twitter as well, and we can compare. But I'm just looking forward to having a tournament this season. After having the tournament banged a year ago and everything that we've gone through, it seems as though we're starting to come out of this thing. We're not out of it yet, but we're starting to come out of this thing. Once again, you can hit us up on the socials. I told you what our Twitter handle is. It's also our Instagram account as well, at Doug Russell Pod. You can email the show, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. For all of that, including our Facebook page, links to all of our shows and everything like that, just find us on our webpage. It is DougRussellPod.com. Again, DougRussellPod.com. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.